knowledge. Svataha, directly from him. Shvasanataha, from his breathing. Balam, strength of the body. Ojaha, strength of the senses. Ya, activities. Sattvadibhi, by nature's modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. Sthiti, in maintenance. Laya, destruction. Udbhave, and creation. Adikarta, the original doer. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Within His body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. His transcendental senses generate the knowledge acquiring and active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and His powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power and conditioned activities of the embodied souls. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. And thus the universe is created, maintained and annihilated. Purport. When a conditioned soul becomes completely exhausted by strenuous activities, or when he is overcome by disease, death or fear, he loses all power to manifest practical knowledge of activities. Thus, we should understand that independent of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can neither work nor cultivate knowledge. By the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, the conditioned soul acquires a material body, which is a perverted reflection of the unlimited spiritual body of the Lord. Thus, the living entity engages in ignorant materialistic activities for society, friendship and love. But the entire program suddenly vanishes with the unforeseen dissolution of the material body. Similarly, our material knowledge is always subject to become null and void within an instant, since the material nature is itself constantly changing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the prime mover behind the birth, maintenance and destruction of the universe. And the living entity should try to understand that Personality of Godhead, who has given him so much facility for illusion. The Personality of Godhead actually wants the conditioned soul to surrender to him and regain an eternal life of bliss and knowledge at the Lord's side. The conditioned soul should reason. If the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely He will give even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow His direction without foolish speculations. This verse describes Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the second phase of the Purusha incarnations of the Lord. This Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is glorified in the Purusha Shukta prayers, expands Himself as a super soul to enter the heart of every living being. Through chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even in this degraded age, one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. The Lord is a person as much as we are, but He is unlimited. Still, a personal living relationship exists between the tiny living entity and the unlimited Supreme Lord. In consideration of this personal relationship, Bhakti Yoga is the only suitable process by which to come to the ultimate understanding of our constitutional position as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim et kripatamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyam ishwaram namaom vishnu padaya krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha
कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। Seek the permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. This is a very nice purport, especially two sentences, two points have really touched my heart. I would like to discuss those two points. Here in this purport, we see the principle of hope and having the right aspirations in Krishna consciousness. Like it's very beautifully mentioned by Gopi Paranadana Prabhu and Hridayananda Maharaj in the purport, that we are tiny, we are actually insignificant in the face of the onslaught of material energy, and all the possessions that we have and all the possessions that we accumulate, it will be wiped off in utter disdain of who we are and what we are. So the only hope or the only thing we can do is, as we march on, we keep this flame of hope burning alive. We have to keep it going. We have to keep it burning, that flame. And if you see the last line of this first paragraph of this purport, it's what a beautiful statement, that a devotee should reason, a conditioned soul should reason. What should be the reasoning? If the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely He will give even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow His direction without foolish speculations. Means, I am responsible for this suffering, I desired this, so I got this body and I am in this mess. Now if I desire properly, because Lord wants us to go back to Him more than we want to go back to Him. So by my independent desire I have invited so much suffering. Now if I desire properly, then the Lord will give even more facility. That means what a hope, what an opportunity for optimism in bhakti. So this is a very, very nice hope-giving statement. When Satyanandan Maharaj was a young brahmachari, he had just come to Krishna consciousness in 1970s, early 70s. And he was in London and he heard Srila Prabhupada is coming. So he thought, he will ask him a question in the class. And after the class, when Srila Prabhupada asked for questions, this young brahmachari raised his hand. And Satyanandan Maharaj is saying that he asked this question to Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, we want to go back to Krishna, but why Krishna has created so much difficulty by creating this Maya, because of which it is so difficult to love Krishna. And he was astonished by Srila Prabhupada's answer. Srila Prabhupada roared on the microphone. His eyes became big. He said, Krishna created Maya? No, you created Maya. Srila Prabhupada's, of course, in that context, we have to understand the context in which Srila Prabhupada was speaking, because Prabhupada said Krishna creates Maya, Bhagavad Gita says Maya Dakshena Prakriti. But there, Srila Prabhupada was correcting a faulty mentality that we have, that we are not responsible for our suffering. To correct that mentality, Srila Prabhupada was emphatically saying, you have created Maya. So, Fachinandan Maharaj says that as a young brahmachari, he saw his whole world of grandeur and illusion collapsing when Srila Prabhupada made that statement. And he understood that, yes, I am responsible. Now I have to desire properly. And this is actually the truth. You know, if we desire this to be established in our constitutional position as a servant of Krishna, humbly, as he says, as the author's right here, that without speculation, I just humbly follow Krishna's direction. If this is my, and this is the truth, this is the constitutional position of the soul. So if you're established in this position, and if you keep affirming that I want to serve, I'm a servant of Krishna, then a whole beautiful world opens up for us. And this truth cannot remain a non-reality for long. This will come out. This will happen. This will come to pass. Prahlad Priya Prabhu gave the other day, what a beautiful morning Bhagavatam class. He said they did an experiment. They made people sit and they made 1 week you have to only lie. The whole experiment was you have to only speak lies for 1 week. And nobody could do that. Nobody could survive 1 week only lying. It's not possible to only lie because the truth will come out. And to be a successful liar, you have to have a very good memory. Prahlad Priya Prabhu was saying that point. That you have to know what you have told whom. It's not easy. So similarly, if we are established in this truth, that I am a servant, which is our natural, which is actually the truth. I am a servant and I have to be humble servant of Krishna. If we are established in this, if we desire this position, then this will come to pass. Otherwise, if you are not naturally, we choose humility, we will be humbled. Humiliation comes before humility. So many of us will have to go through humiliation. We will have to go through suffering anyways. Because that is our position. So we have created this mess. Individually and collectively. So therefore what we have to do? We have to... I will read this last line again. It's such a nice sentence. The conditioned soul should reason. What? If the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely he will give me even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow his direction without foolish speculations. That means it boils down to what? It boils down to our aspiration, our desire. There is one conversation where one devotee is asking Srila Prabhupada in late 1960s lecture that Srila Prabhupada, Maya is troubling me so much. I am unable to come to Krishna. I am chanting Hare Krishna but my mind is pulling me other direction. Maya is pulling me away. And what did Srila Prabhupada answer? Srila Prabhupada said, keep chanting. If you keep chanting, then let the struggle go on. Let Maya also pull you, let Krishna also pull you. And Prabhupada said, finally Krishna will win. Let that be a tug of war. Maya will do her job. Because Maya, that is her job. To test us, whether we want to serve Krishna, whether we want to disturb Krishna, as Prabhupada writes in Kunti's purport. So she will do her job. And... So we have come here, our desire has brought us here. So now the same desire, the principle of desire will take us back. In fact, that will have double effect. Our desire has created mess. We have come here. Now by right desire, we'll go back to Krishna. And what is the solution for this? The solution is revealed in the second paragraph of this purport. Beautiful. That if we have to simply practice bhakti yoga, which means... we have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and if we do that, we will get connected to the super soul, Paramatma in the heart, and that personal loving relationship with Krishna will be revoked. What clarity! So we are suffering because of our desire to be independent of Krishna. Now to go back, we need to do two things. First is, what is the first thing? We need to desire properly. Aspiration has to be pure. And then to translate that aspiration into practical activity, what is the second solution proposed in the purport? We have to chant Hare Krishna and connect to the Lord in the heart through a loving relationship of devotional service. So practicing bhakti. So let us examine this little more deeply today. See, one of the most important things is to cultivate this, to keep this flame of hope burning, to keep this aspiration going on for years. That I want to serve Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna, I want to love Krishna, I want to serve devotees. To keep this going on, we need to remember examples from history and understand what is the method recommended by the Lord. When Raghunath Das Goswami attempted to run away from home, many times he tried. He wanted to surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Intense desire and eagerness. I want to give up all these material attachments. But he just couldn't. His parents would arrest him, get him. He had 12 bodyguards who would see that he doesn't escape. So finally, his mother told his father that we should tie him with chains and keep him imprisoned. And he was the son of a wealthy, wealthy billionaire, super rich. And he wanted to surrender to Krishna, leave everything. So his father said that if the golden chains of so much opulence, wealth, if that is not able to bind him, how will the chains of this world bind him? It's a matter of time. But still they tried, they ensured that he doesn't escape. Meanwhile, he was, when Lord Chaitanya came to Lord Chaitanya came to Navadvip. So Raghunath Das Goswami took permission from his father and visited Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya gave him an instruction. He told him, Sthirahana Gareyao Nahao Vatul Krame Krame Payaloka Bhava Sindhukul. Lord Chaitanya said, three very important points for a devotee who is eager to be reunited with Krishna, who wants to re-establish a relationship with Krishna. Lord Chaitanya has given us three instructions through Raghunath Das Goswami. Sthirahana. Sthira means be patient, relax, don't go crazy. That is second. Sthirahana. Ghare yao na hao vatul. Don't be crazy. Don't get obsessed. Just be patient and don't go crazy. And what will happen? What you should do? Krame krame paya loka bhava sindhukul. Dhire dhire. Krame krame. Gradually, at the right time, things will fall in place. You keep your aspiration, the hope, the flame of aspiration burning. Keep doing what you are supposed to do every day, regularly. And the right time, all the pieces of the puzzle, you know, they will all fall in place. This is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. See, this is how nature works. If you see, nature, everything happens organically. There is rhythm, there is balance, there is harmony, there is beauty in nature. Because things happen with a lot of grace. It's not intense and sudden. Like you see how the seasons change, for example. How does summer, before the rainy season starts, you will see a little bit of cloud gathering for a few days, wind blowing, and you can see the way things are building up, and the heat increases. And then we see how it happens. Okay, forget that. How the sun rises, how the day starts. So it's pitch dark, suddenly does the sun rise? Suddenly there is bright 12 o'clock sunshine afternoon? No. It's gradual. First we see the sun rays. Actually, we don't even see the rays. We see the initial light. And then we see the sun slowly rising. If you go for a walk early in the morning, if it's dark around 5:45, and if you keep walking, you will see how slowly the darkness makes way to light. You don't even realize how it happens. And suddenly you realize there is light everywhere. But how do we live when we want to come out of darkness? We switch on the light. And suddenly there is light. This is an example of how everything we do in life is not organic. Most of the things we do is very sudden, intense, inorganic. And that has got into our system. Like even old age, for example, how time affects us. You know, we slowly start realizing at the age of... See, when we are young, we think old age is only theory for us. And slowly, slowly we start, you know, leg is paining, back, and then slowly hair start falling. So we start realizing, abhi buddha ho raha hu. And first we are in denial. But then finally, then you realize, you know. As a young boy, we are playing cricket, and when somebody, the ball would go to some elderly people, who would tell them, uncle, ball de do. And suddenly one day you are walking on the road and some children tell you, uncle, ball de do, uncle. And you hear the word uncle, you say, arey, uncle ho gaya. So you realize, that's how time goes. Slowly, slowly you realize, I'm becoming old. So life, there is some harmony, but what has happened is, we are disconnected from nature. And what happens, this artificiality and something which is very, very artificial, we have allowed it to sink into our system, even as we are practicing devotees. And we want things in an haphazard way, intense way, but that's not how nature is made. We need mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We need mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Lord is instructing Raghunatha Swami, Krame krame paya loka bhava sindhukul. keep on doing the process. You know, I remember in Vrindavan Yatra, see how animals are aligned to nature so much. We were in Vrindavan Yatra, we go every few years. And, you know, in Vrindavan Yatra, the Yatra managers have a very big challenge during lunchtime because there are monkeys. Vrindavan is filled with monkeys. And we cook prasadam for 4,000 devotees and it's a big feast. And we not only have to serve systematically all the 4,000 plus devotees prasadam, we also have to protect these devotees prasadam from the monkeys who are more enthusiastic to devour, and they are confident that they'll devour the entire prasadam. And we have to keep stakes, drive them out. And then we managed to do that successfully. So there's a whole team of hundreds of devotees only to drive out monkeys. But the same monkeys who are so alert to catch food and prasadam and they're looking at different ways to capture prasadam, the same monkeys, as soon as the sun sets, 6:30, the evening class is getting over, the dinner prasadam is served many times, khichdi, and the whole thing is there, pot is there, there is kurmura. And the monkeys are not interested. Not because the menu is not attractive. That's not the reason why the monkeys are not attracted. It's just that, okay, office time over. Now no more fighting for food. Abhi sone ka time. If they work little extra hours, they get so much food. If they plan, are yaar, abhi 10 din ka yatra hai, thoda mehnat kar lete hain. We'll get more food. Then we can sleep at sunset. No, they know. Sunset means body. Their system is made in such a way. So we also have, see, human beings cannot be like animals. Obviously, we have a more evolved consciousness. So I agree. But we have a higher responsibility not to be thinking about these things. We have to focus on more than eating, sleeping, meeting, defending. We have to connect to Krishna. And that means through spiritual practices, through steadiness, as Mahaprabhu is instructing Raghunathas Goswami, through steadiness. Otherwise, what has happened is we've got somewhere brainwashed and we are responsible for our unhappy and miserable conditions. But Nityanand Prabhu told, actually what happened later on, when Lord Nityanand Prabhu came to Panihati and Raghunathas Goswami served him. And Nityanand Prabhu said, you just serve Chidadayi to all my associates. And then Nityanand Prabhu was very pleased. He blessed him and he told all the devotees to bless Raghunath Das that he can get mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then eventually we know what happened one day. You know, the right time, right things happened and he ran away from home. And then he took shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So the main fundamental premise is, I am not the doer. I am not the only doer. I am the doer by desire. You know, prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karta ahmiti mannate. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, purport that how there are three doers: Krishna, living entity, and the material energy. So he gives the example of a child who wants to lift a stone and he is trying and he is not able to lift. So the father comes from behind, he puts his hand on the child's hand and the child lifts the stone. Child thinks, I have done such a great accomplishment. But the child desired, the father's sanction and the father's hand, which was actually there, it helped the child lift. Similarly, we desire, and according to how much we deserve, the Lord sanctions and he facilitates the fulfilling of our desire through the material energy, which is like the hand in this example. Or in our context, you know, in our context, it's like you want to go from temple to the airport early morning and you see a taxi wala. And you tell him, take me to the airport. And you ask him, airport jayenge? And he says, chalo. And you sit in the taxi. And he takes you to the airport. And when you get on, he tells you to give money. And you tell him, will you tell him, no, I asked you, airport chalenge? And you said, yes. So, aap bhi aagaye airport, aapko bhi free ride mil gaya airport. Why should I pay you money? You can't argue like this. Why? Because it was your desire to come to airport. It's not that he wanted to come to the airport. And he fulfilled, he sanctioned your desire by getting that vehicle, by driving that taxi. So there are three people involved in your going to the airport. You, because you desired. And the taxi driver, because he took charge of the situation. And the taxi, the vehicle which brought you to the airport. All three are involved. Now we can't circumvent this natural thing, or we can't speed up Krishna's laws. We can't just shout at the driver, ki fast chala, or we can't get out of the taxi and push the taxi, or we can't really do anything more than this in that situation. So similarly in life, we have to do our duty. Krame krame, consistently keep chanting and keep the flame burning. Krishna, I want you. I want to serve you. You know, as I am saying this, I can hear some of your silent protest. Because Srila Prabhupada has also said, we should be desperate to go back to Godhead. And in this one lifetime, we can all go back home back to God. Srila Prabhupada said that, right? So are we contradicting Srila Prabhupada? No. Srila Prabhupada has also said, he has promised us we will go back to Godhead. And that is what a pure devotee does. He is giving us hope by that promise. But that doesn't mean we think I am the controller and I will get crashed to the spiritual world by my efforts. No. Srila Prabhupada said, it all depends on Krishna's causeless mercy. Means apne haath mein nahi. When Srila Prabhupada was sick, in New York, initial days, and devotees were bewildered what to do, and Srila Prabhupada said, pray to Krishna for my speedy recovery. And how should you pray? Krishna, our master, has not finished his work. If you so desire Krishna, please make him all right. If you so desire, we have to give that independence to Krishna. Krishna, anyway, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, Krishna is a transcendental autocrat. Krishna is fully independent. So therefore, we can't really push ourselves. What we do as sadhakas, as devotees is, as revealed in today's purport, we simply place our fragile life, which is so fragile, anytime anything can go wrong, anywhere in the system. We place our fragile life in the hands of, in Krishna's loving hands. Krishna, this is, I am at your mercy. So we have to trust Krishna. We have to trust his love. We have to trust Krishna's care. We have to trust Krishna's wisdom. And we have to trust Krishna's plan for us. He has a beautiful plan to bring us back to him. So as Krishna is doing his business, Krishna knows what to do for us. We continue with what? Two things. What do we continue with? Our aspiration and also our practices, daily practices. So these are the two things in today's purport, and these two are the essence of our sadhana bhakti also. Our aspiration and our practices, our activities. Same thing with Rupa and Sanatan. They were desperate to run. And they were writing letters to Lord Chaitanya, we want to leave everything and come to you. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Lord Chaitanya, first of all, didn't reply to their letters. Acknowledging their letters. They wanted to leave everything and run. Lord Chaitanya did not acknowledge the letters. And then finally, after repeated requests by Rupa Sanatan, Lord Chaitanya sent one mysterious letter with only written one line, two lines. If a woman is as a paramour, means somebody, some lover other than her husband, then if a woman has a paramour, then she should serve her husband even more carefully so that the husband does not suspect. This is all he sent. So then they were intelligent, they understood Lord Chaitanya is saying that we should serve and do our responsibilities as ministers in the government more carefully so that the king doesn't suspect and wait for the right time. And that happened, right? Rupa Goswami left and Sanatan ran in a most adventurous way, which is another topic. Sanatan Goswami's escape from Nawab Hussain Shah's prison is an amazing pastime. So now the question I know some of you may be having in your minds is, how do we know when is the time to run? When is the time to surrender to Krishna? When do I do it? Oh, that's between you and Krishna. it can happen now, today, tomorrow. But we have to trust Krishna because, see, the obsession that we have to have everything in control, to figure out everything. So what is Krishna doing for me now? How is he going to take me back to Godhead? Forget that. Let's do our job. Burijan Prabhu says, we are always, our disease, Burijan Prabhu says, our disease is we are interested in other people's business. We are not interested in our business. He says, we are interested in Krishna's business and others' business. Let us be interested in our business. What is our business? Two things. What? Aspiring to love Krishna, go back to Krishna, and do our daily activities with attention, with feeling, and go on. But what we are interested in? other people's business. Are ye aparadh kar raha hai, he is doing like this, he is not doing like this, he is like this. And Krishna's business. Why is Krishna not giving mercy? Krishna is giving, you just go on, you know. Or Shyamananda Prabhu gives a very nice example. He says, material world is like a poorly structured BMC corporation where water supply is very, very poor. So water supply is coming very trickle, the water is trickling very, you know, slowly. So what you do, you keep a big bucket to fill it up. Now when the bucket is getting filled, you don't stand there and keep staring at the bucket. Arre bhar, jaldi bhar, get filled, no. You know the bucket is getting filled and what you do the other activities and occasionally you come and see, ah, bhar raha hai. Yes, it's filling up. But you don't sit there, obsessed, counting each drop falling. That will happen. It will happen slowly. So this is a very important point that if we keep doing the right thing as revealed in today's purport, the right time, you know, the super soul, because we are directed by Krishna in the heart, Krishna will direct us to remember him, to take the right decision. Even in the material world, this is acknowledged. This is the term used for this is evolved conscience. What we call Paramatma-driven activities is what management gurus call as educated or evolved conscience. The inner connection to the true north principles, the right thing to do. So when we are direct, and that conscience gets evolved by doing the right activities every day, slowly but steadily. Even in the material world, this is recognized. One man, I read one book recently, The Highest Duty by Chesley Sullenberg. He was an ordinary pilot, every day going to fly his job. For 40 years he was doing his same thing. But what a story. Now today he is a well-known name, in every American knows him. But he was an ordinary person like you and me. But what happened one day is something spectacular in his life. Now this man, Chesley Sullenberg, is a pilot. And he had an ideal in life. He had learned from childhood that he wanted to be a pilot. So, and his motto in principle, he always carried that mission statement in his pocket. Like we carry, you know, our thing. So he carried always, and he would see it every day. And his mission was to care and serve people. Care and protect others. That was what he lived for. That was his mission. Like, you know, our devotees have. I want to love Krishna. So that is a devotee's mission. So this man had this ingrained into his system, because every day he was not ritualistically, mechanically chanting this. He was actually trying to connect to this statement that I want to live for caring and protecting others because I am a pilot. That is my job, to actually care, to actually protect. So he kept internalizing it and doing his duty daily, day after day for how many years? 4 decades. So life was going on as usual. And then one day as he was flying his plane, they took off from New York airport. And as soon as the plane went in the sky, they were flying at almost 700 kilometers per hour, some Canadian birds which were migrating back, and this huge fleet of birds attacked. In the sense, unknowingly, they just hit the engines, both the engines. And there was a big noise and the engines crashed. Now the two pilots inside, it takes some time to figure out what has happened. It took them almost a minute to understand what has happened. And then by the time they realized, and then meanwhile the ATC down is telling them, okay, you will land here. There are 2 airports nearby, New Jersey and 1 more airport. You come back and you land here. And then the runway will be provided to you. So now he is flying. He is the main pilot, captain. Is at the right time, see how Paramatma guides him. Now, by 40 years he's been doing this. Listen to the ATC, take the plane on the runway, safe. This is what anybody would have done. But because he was guided by what principle? This is what he writes in that book, The Highest Duty. What was the principle he was guided by? Care, protection of the people I'm flying. So because he was guided by that principle and he was doing his duty sincerely for 40 years, when this point of test came, he didn't go to the airport. Because he got this feeling, he was directed by the Paramatma, he understood that by the time I reach the airport, the engines, because it was on auto mode, and that wouldn't last till that long, and I may crash into buildings, and not only 160 people on the flight, but additionally so many people may get killed. Yes, no, he is tossing, and meanwhile they are getting a lot of messages. Come back. So he just switched off the radio, the transmission of the messages. He told his co-pilot, do you have any idea what to do? He was so nervous, he didn't know what to do. So he took a call, coolly, and he is an amazing person. This person has been a very shy person all his life, very soft-spoken. Generally those who are shy and soft-spoken, we think during a crisis, they may panic or they may not be able to do much. They are like simple. We think crisis means we have to be very active, loud. No, you need a cool head. And because of his consistent connection to the principal, at that point of time, he took a quick decision. He realized that this may be risky. I may crash into building. So what he did, on the right he saw Hudson River. He said, we will land in the river. And he made an announcement. People were shocked. And coolly made an announcement, and he took that call, and the plane landed on the river. It is the first time, and it has never happened before. So by logic, by history, he should have never done that. Because it has never happened. But he did that nevertheless. And all the members, including the crew, all the passengers survived. It became a big news. And then there was investigation that he took a big risk by going on the water. He could have come to the airport. So then they did simulation and they found out that his decision was right, because if he had come to the airport, they calculated all that. You know, they have advanced computer technology. But the simulation, they realized that if he had tried anything else, the plane would have crashed. This was the only thing to do. And this was after all the people were sitting in their offices doing all the simulations, they came to this calculation. But here he had to take the decision on the spot. Because they are not planned. When they took off, they didn't know that the birds will crash. So for 40 years, doing the consistently the thing, and suddenly at the moment of test, he passed with flying colors. And he became a national hero. There are so many, the president of America called him. Everybody wanted to be with him. He is a national hero in America. And his book, is actually, to be very honest, the book is very ordinary. I mean, in the sense, it's not written in a good style. You know, as a reader, it's very distracting, it's messy. It's not, but then it's an international bestseller because the name, na? Whatever he says, people just, because they are desperate for him. Because he's a man of a substance, so style achha nahi hoga, but quality hai, kaam kiya hai aisa. So the point I'm trying to say is that, yes, we need to plan, we need to be desperate to go back to Godhead. Hey, sab, all that desire is bona fide. But we also need to keep our practices going steadily with faith that Krishna is there. And at the right time, everything will happen. See, already there is enough suffering, we all accept. And already our plans are making us miserable. So let us not purchase more problems by asking Krishna, what is your plan? You know, by trying to figure out Krishna's... Like I was hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures nowadays. I'm hearing arrival address of Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada, whenever you would go to any place, you would first give an arrival address. So there is some lot of arrival address of Srila Prabhupada. It's all 15 minutes or 10 minutes. One of them is just 2 minutes arrival address. And it's very sweet. You will see a consistent theme in all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures when he arrives at a place. One is he will always glorify Gaurnithai. You can see the where he's coming from. You know, Srila Prabhupada is conscious of Gaurnithai's mercy. Second, you will always see gratitude. Like you would go to this temple, so you would say, so beautiful temple, I'm right now coming from this, now I come here, and this is the best temple in the world. And everybody would say, Hari Bol. And the same thing Srila Prabhupada would say to the next temple. So all devotees would become very happy. The second thing. Third thing, you would see compassion. In every class, arrival address, Srila Prabhupada would be emphasizing on how we have to give Krishna consciousness to others like that. So one particular arrival address I was hearing at Stockholm, Sweden, Sweden. First time Srila Prabhupada is going there. Srila Prabhupada is saying, so, this is the first time I'm coming to Sweden, Stockholm. And then the class begins. He says, so, material world, Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is extremely difficult. And I was shocked when I heard that, because generally I would hear Prabhupada say, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. But here Srila Prabhupada is saying, so, Krishna consciousness is extremely difficult. So, I paused, rewind, play a few times. Prabhupada is saying, Krishna consciousness is extremely difficult because Krishna consciousness is on the spiritual platform. It's managed by Krishna. So, therefore, let us not make it more difficult by trying to take Krishna's position, by controlling, by understanding why things are not happening the way it should be, because we are anyway beaten on all sides. You know, Chandramouli Maharaj says often this example that we are so badly beaten, our condition is like a boxer who is in the boxing ring and is beaten badly, and he just has no chance of winning this boxing match because he is small and the opponent Maya is huge, 7 foot, 200 kg, huge, and we are like tiny, we have no chance of winning this boxing match, he says, and we are fighting, and the worst part is, he says, we can't win, but we can't stop fighting, playing this match also. If you can't win and you are getting beaten, at least you will want to run away. But this is such a game, material world is such a game that you can't win this game and you can't run away, you can't stop playing the game also. So therefore, let us not beat ourselves more, you know, extra. Let us keep adding these things daily. What are the things? Our aspirations and our activities. Of what are the activities? Hearing Bhagavatam classes, chanting, serving. And this, when we add, you know, every day, when it is added, it adds up into a big total. Because Krishna says in the second chapter, 40th verse of Gita, 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 40th verse, he says, Nayabikrama nashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat parthaneve anamutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyanakrit kaschit durgatim tatagacchati. Even if you do little things, no loss, no diminution, sub account, everything is recorded. Everything is recorded by Krishna, all the good things we do for Krishna's service. So one day, everything Krishna, Paramatma will direct us to call out to him and it's time for leaving the body. But if we, instead of doing this, instead of having these two things, aspiration and activities of Krishna consciousness, if instead of this we add negative samskaras to our consciousness by criticizing, by finding faults, by doing politics, then our life is a mess actually. Then what happens? That pattern continues for even during the time of death. Even during old age, we just continue the same pattern. We have to break that habit. When I was a young boy in school, in sports, there was very famous rivalry of two athletes. In 1980s, mid-80s, Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was like the upcoming young talented, and Carl Lewis was a world champion. He had won many Olympic gold medals. But he was very insecure. He used to always say that this Ben Johnson takes drugs. You know, he used to say like that. And Ben Johnson used to say, I'm going to win. And finally, that very sensational Olympic. The most important event in Olympics is a 100-meter race. And that's considered as the determining factor that who is the fastest man on the planet. So that we were all watching it live. It was in Seoul Olympics 1988. Seoul Olympics. Seoul Olympics final event was 100 meter final, and we were all rooting for Ben Johnson. We were all his fans. He's from Canada. And the race started. And he broke the world record. 9.83 seconds was the 100 meters record. He made it 9.79. Wow, we were celebrating, and Canadian Prime Minister called him, and he was a national hero. The whole world was celebrating. Overnight, he had become a success. And then Carl Lewis was gone, history. Now the new hero has emerged, Ben Johnson. And next day morning, what happened? It was announced that Ben Johnson has failed the doping test. He had taken performance enhancing drugs. So the gold medal has been taken away from him. So what happened in 24 hours? He became from an international star, he became a disgrace, a shame. And Canadian government sent him a message, don't come back, you stay there only. Seoul Mero, Seoul. So then there is a huge poster there in that Olympic stadium. From hero to zero in 9.79 seconds. So what happened? I saw, and then of course the things happened, then I came to Krishna consciousness, I forgot. A few years back, just 2 years back, and I remember, I felt devastated. We all felt very sad that, he was our hero. And Ben Johnson, and his response was, everybody cheats. I didn't cheat. You know, I am the one who's caught. They are not caught. And then after that statement, after a few days, he said, no, I didn't cheat only. But then he kept giving different statements. And he kept criticizing. He said, oh, these four athletes were against me. They made a plan. Very silly, and for that hurt us more. So we kind of, oh, pyar hamara khatam ho gaya udhar. And material world has enough other attractions for us. So then something else. Finally, just then I forgot about the whole thing. 2 years back, one devotee showed me a book. I was traveling and I was surprised. And I just picked it up. I wanted to read it. It was by Ben Johnson. He wrote it just 3 years back. Now, after 1988, kitna saal nikal gaya? Humko laga ab sudhar gaya. And the book was called, and why I wanted to read it, because the title of the book was very attractive. The title of the book was, where was he disgraced? Seol. So the title of the book was, Seol to Soul. I said, "Are, wow, so he has got soul realization, matlab. Seol to Soul." So I said, this book I have to read because he is my earlier hero. So maybe he has got prayaschitta, repentance, realize his mistake, and this repentance will help me also repent. You know, we try to justify somehow to get some Krishna consciousness from everywhere. So I thought maybe his mood of humility will help me. So let me read this book. So I borrowed the book from this devotee. And I read and I was shocked. Such a thick book. And no repentance, no accepting of fault. And he's made a big plot how Carl Lewis and these four athletes were against him, how they mixed that drug in his food and drink, and how they, and the whole thing is blame game. And how Carl Lewis, 10,000 years ago, was his enemy and he was an Egyptian king. Pura ek speculation, ek aisa masaledar story banaya. The whole conclusion is, I am innocent, I have been framed. So the same pattern has continued. That pattern of criticism and fault finding has continued for years and years and years. Same thing. No change in aspiration. No change in activities. This is what happens. If it's all our choice ultimately. Oh, last minute we will not be able to choose whether our plane will go on the Hudson River or it will go. We will not be able to choose that. At the last minute, if our life has not been consistently deposited with the right kind of thoughts and right kind of actions. Like Devamrita Maharaj was telling me one example. That one of his god brothers, he left Krishna consciousness and Maharaj had a chance to meet him a few years ago. And Maharaj said, Prabhu, oh, so happy to see you. They embraced, they spoke, and then Maharaj asked him, see, I was your very good friend, I've been looking for you for so many years. Please chant Hare Krishna and, you know, be with the devotees again. And this devotee, he told Maharaj that, Maharaj, you know that he named one devotee. He abused me. In 1978, he was a temple president. And the way he spoke to me, the way he did this, I'm so angry with him. And he just, for half an hour to 1 hour, he was just talking about that bad experience of when. So then Maharaj told him, 40 years have passed. Abhitak, you are holding on to that. Forgive and move on in life. You're holding on to it. Let go. Live free. Come on, move ahead. Take it as a learning experience. And add positive deposits. Make your aspirations pure now. Don't hold on to the past. Otherwise, you know, the history is filled with so many people who were so super successful, but because of wrong aspirations and because of the wrong kind of deposits, they only suffered. One of the most amazing historical examples that you can ever find is the personality of Aurangzeb. If you see Aurangzeb, according to Stanley Wolpert, a noted historian, in the 1670s and 80s, he was the richest man in the world. He had 3 times more wealth than the second richest man. The whole of India, Afghanistan, upar, sab uska tha. He could have been most happy person if he wanted. But his life was the most miserable and most pathetic. At the age of 13, he had tamed a mad elephant and became a hero. But last 25 years, he spent trying to enter Maharashtra. The resilient Marathas, they just kept him at bay. Aurangzeb was so frustrated. 25 years he had camped outside Aurangabad, that area, trying to enter Maharashtra. The lakhs and lakhs of soldiers, the whole treasury was spent in trying to conquer Maharashtra. He could have enjoyed the rest of the whole Asia that he had. Whole treasury got wiped off. And at the age of 89, when he was dying, just moments before he died, he put his body on the arms of his son, third son, Azam. And he told him that, who am I? Who am I? I came, these are the exact words he said. I came alone and I am now going as a stranger. I have accomplished nothing. This is the statements of a man who was the richest man in the world, the whole world. India was under him. So much wealth he had. And he was a strict religion. He was practicing his religion also strictly. But aspiration is not adding positive deposits, positive activities. So in the end, this is what was his fate. So therefore, let us understand one thing very clearly, that it is not an overnight affair, it's not a miracle. Yes, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is there, Krishna will do that miracle, like Gajendra, Lord will come, pick us up. But paying attention, for our side, we have to pay attention to the small, little things make a big difference. Little things, the small things we add every day. See, when we pay attention, or we neglect the little things, that will pay off one day. All that gets paid off one moment. So whole life we actually spend climbing the ladder of success or digging our own grave. So at the right moment, either we go up in that Sam City game you have seen, that snakes and ladders, you keep going up and suddenly you get that ladder and you go to Krishna. Or because of our constant negative activities, we suddenly come slipping down. There are so many examples. I remember one devotee's example. He was really suffering in his office and his home front. And I am seeing he is such a nice person. Even non-devotees should love him. His qualities are so nice. And then after talking to him and his wife, they were talking. And then we realized the major problem he had was neglecting the small thing. What was that? He had this problem of not being punctual. And you would think it's not a big deal. Thoda late ho gaya tha, kya problem? But important meetings, important get-togethers, everywhere. And he was not, and he would be very very casual in his apology also. That kept adding, and eventually he didn't realize why people had developed perceptions and so much of negative attitude towards him, and the root of that was neglecting something small. So I just told him, I suggested, why don't you work on this? And in 6 months, he saw a lot of difference, just being sincere in his apology and actually coming on time. You may think it's such a simple, such a small thing, but that's how it is. Being on time is a small thing, but it can have a big difference in our life, in others' life. See, actually, if we simply consider the tremendous consequences that come about by doing small things, then we will realize that actually there are no small things. There are no little things. I remember once Sadhana Swami Maharaj told me personally, I asked him about some issues, and then I was not happy. And then he said, you should ensure that you take lunch prasadam with some other devotee. You should not take prasadam alone. And I said, what is the connection between this and... So the manager in me told, I'm working and writing, and then lunch aage, I'll eat the dabba. My dabba is there outside my room. I'll take it, eat it, and then continue writing. Maharaj, understanding that, he said, no, at least one devotee, if there is nobody in your floor, in your room, neighbors, then you go down and take prasad with devotee. I said, no, Maharaj, somebody is always there. If said, then, yeah, then you should always take prasadam with some other devotee. And then the next few days later was his birthday, so he was talking to a few brahmacharis. And then he said, so, one of the most important principles is we should take prasadam together. And again, I was thinking, what is so important about this? Chanting Hare Krishna is most important, we have heard. Serving the devotees is most important. Taking prasadam together. And then as if understanding my faulty mentality, he said, even if you don't understand the logic, please do it because an old man is saying, please. And then it was his birthday. He said, this is the best birthday gift I can get. So now when I look back, this was in 2007, long back. Now when I look back, I feel, you know, it was lifesaver actually. Because there is an unspoken camaraderie, unspoken affection that gets transmitted when you take prasadam with others, when you hear they speaking. Otherwise we are hearing constantly our mind only talking, no? So we are humble in association. So now when I look back, I feel, wow, what wisdom he had given. It's a small thing, it's a little thing, but it just makes a big difference in the consciousness. See, termites are little, but they can bring down the whole house. A match is a small thing, it can burn down the whole house. Tongue is very small, but it can create life or it can kill you. In the right words we speak. So, and Srila Prabhupada also said, when Srila Prabhupada asked that... you know, chanting perfection. Srila Prabhupada said, how many years it took him to perfect his chanting? Srila Prabhupada said, it took me 40 years to perfect chanting. So you can't say, after 40 years chanting will become perfect, then I'll chant after 40 years. You can't say like that. Like one man went to a job interview and he said, how much salary? So the boss told him, you'll get 30,000 rupees every month and after 2 years you'll get 2 lakhs. So he said, okay, I'll come after 2 years. That logic we can't use. We can't negotiate salary like that. So we have to keep doing the right things and then at the right time, we'll get the raise. You know, when our Subhag Maharaj, when he was a young brahmachari, this is Jananivas Prabhu told me this past time that when he was a young brahmachari, he asked Srila Prabhupada 3 different times, Srila Prabhupada, lust is troubling us. How can we overcome lust? Will lust ever go away? And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, no, never. So he felt very discouraged. And after some days again he saw Srila Prabhupada somewhere and he said, Srila Prabhupada, will lust go away? Srila Prabhupada looked at him. No, never. And third time when he asked him, Srila Prabhupada, will lust ever go away? Srila Prabhupada looked and then he said, Govinda Ichha. He said, Krishna's desire. So basically the point I'm trying to say is, can we make this leap of faith? Can we trust Krishna more than we trust our own ability to control? Can we trust Krishna more than our tiny intelligence? Can we trust Krishna by hearing his classes, even though the class may not be so attractive? Can we chant our japa, even though we may not be feeling so inspired that day? So because if we do that, then suddenly one day jackpot we'll get. We'll not even realize how it is happening. Like one billionaire was asked in an interview that you are a very poor man. How did you become a billionaire? You were very poor earlier. Now how did you become a billionaire? And you know what answer he gave? He said, I was very poor. Then one day I got an apple and I sold it for 2 rupees. And from those 2 rupees, I got 4 apples. I purchased 4 apples. And then I sold each apple for 2 rupees. Then I got so much profit. Then I purchased 6 apples. And then 5th day, I purchased 10 apples. And the 6th day, what happened? My rich aunt died and I got all the fortune. What is the connection? No connection. So we are chanting Hare Krishna every day. Then Krishna is a billionaire. He will just pick us up. But we can't control Krishna. We can't say Krishna has to do this for me. I'll tell you why I'm saying this, because subconsciously, you know, somewhere while practicing Krishna consciousness, we become miracle seekers and we forget the importance of consistent, steady devotional practices for years together. And that can be suicidal to our bhakti, because that may make us complacent and we may think we are in a patit pavan moment and we can lax our standards. Therefore, we have to silently move on with faith in Krishna. And I remember Sri Sridhama Sakaprabhu, whenever I see him, I remember Kirtida Mataji. What a life she led. She had her own struggles and she led a beautiful life centered on Krishna, all her children, the whole family is devotee. And she was not a sannyasi, a guru or a GVC, but she was a pakka dedicated devotee. Unknown to so many people outside, but an integral part of the community here, chanting, taking care of the family. She has wonderful grandchildren. All her duties she did well, and then last days, last moments as she was leaving her body, Yasodhara Radhana Swami Maharaj also met her. And then surrounded by all her loved people, people who loved her, family, friends, and she told her family, yes, now I think I have to leave, get my beat bag. She asked for the beat bag, and she left lying on the bed. So she went back to Krishna because of a life which is dedicated to devotional service. You know, we plant a seed, it grows, and then it becomes a sapling and then finally a plant and then a tree and then it gives a lot of fruits. This is the law of farm. Unfortunately, we don't believe in law of farm. Law of farm means patience, watering, removing the weeds, cutting, trimming. Manat lakta na law of farm. But we prefer law of exam. How do we pass exams from childhood? Last minute, one day, 2 days before the exam, we xerox all the notes, we'll memorize and then vomit it out in the exam and we forget it. So we think success comes in last minute, some shortcut, 20 most important questions, or this academy, they will teach you in so many hours, you can do this. All these kind of things gives us a feeling that we can quick fix solutions are there. But in bhakti, there are no quick fix solutions. That doesn't work. We have to keep adding, and then Krishna directs us. Like, I'll tell you a classic example which inspires me, Srila Prabhupada's example of creating the Radha Rasbihari temple in Juhu. What did Srila Prabhupada do? He said, later on he said, when they got the land, Mrs. Nair, the day they were signing the agreement, Mrs. Nair and Prabhupada are signing, Mrs. Nair broke down. And devotees thought she is crying because she is feeling bad because she created so much trouble for devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj went to console her saying that Mataji is sorry. No, no, it's okay, you don't have to cry. So then she said, no, I'm not crying because I'm crying because this land, I'm giving it to all of you for 20 lakhs. This land, somebody was willing to buy it. Yesterday he came to me. He was willing to buy it for 60 lakhs. But because of all that things that had happened, she was kind of forced to give it away to Srila Prabhupada for just 18 to 20 lakh rupees. So in that Srila Prabhupada said that during that address, he said, by my logical intelligence, I would have never purchased this land. Krishna covered my intelligence. Krishna made me take this because Srila Prabhupada had for years been nursing this desire. When he would walk from Andheri station to Sindhya steamship colony, he would pass through this land and he would look at this and he would say, it will be nice if there is a temple here. Krishna noted it. Oh, pure devotee has a desire. And then when they got the land, Srila Prabhupada promised Radha Rasbihari that, please stay here, I will build a temple for you. The aspiration, and by his steady devotional services, Krishna directed him to fulfill his activities. We can't be imitating Srila Prabhupada, I agree. But the point is cultivating the desire. Like Srila Prabhupada was told in 1922, preach in the English language all over the world, and when did that get fulfilled? 1966. But he added so much, before that. He started Back to Godhead, he wrote Gita Upanishad, that was stolen, then again he started writing, he started preaching to governor, presidents, politicians, he started League of Devotees, continued with that aspiration, that vision, and everything fell in place. In fact, Srila Prabhupada writes in 1950s, Back to Godhead, we will distribute 10,000 copies in America, 5,000 will send to Argentina. He is having all these big plans when he has actually nothing in with himself. And he is sitting in the New York garden, that park, and then that subway conductor, Ruben, is sitting next to him and he looks at Prabhupada and says, who are you? And Srila Prabhupada has nothing with him at that time and he tells him, I am a sannyasi and I have temples all over the world, we have thousands of disciples. And this man is looking, kya bol rahe? Srila Prabhupada knew this is going to happen, time is separating. So therefore, let us know that things will fall in place. And it's not easy, but we have to do our duty. Like I give the example of American visa. Out of 90,000 students who apply, 4,000 get the visa. What happens to the rest? They try. It's not that they don't try. Now, you may try your best, but the visa sanctioning officer, he has the ultimate authority. You can't say, "Arey, you can't." They are not obliged to give you any justification also. If you say, "Acha, unke atme, so I will not make the papers." No, you have to make the papers. You can't say, "I've made all the papers, so I should go get the visa." So we do our job and let Krishna do his job. So this way, if we practice Krishna consciousness with the right kind of aspiration, that Krishna, I have gone so far away from you, now I want to come back to you. And in this mode, we connect to Krishna, to the Super Soul, through chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? I see one hand there. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for wonderful class and hope giving class. So you initially told that the Krishna consciousness should be the krame regularly, slowly, and you can't be dismissed. Let Krishna take care of us like that. But again, we have heard so much about scripture or in classes that our life or sadhana should be intense, something. And Rupa Goswami says about lalyam. So, just I want to get clarity from this that where this come out, intensity in sadhana or services, or repentance, we feel that, oh, I'm not doing so much sadhana or service, all that. So, how can this convince ourselves that how should be like a thin line or thick line in this, like, just can you,
what are the last thing you said?
Like, we have two things I just want to tell you, that you said that we should all do duty and we cannot be so desperate that Krishna, you know, take care of us like that, just do duty continuously. And Lord Chaitanya said that krami it will happen. Like, and one more thing is that we heard that we should be intense in our service.
So you are saying how to balance,
yeah, exactly,
the intense hankering, yeah, with patience.
Yeah, yeah.
That is why we need faith, no? See, there is utsaha, nischaya, dairya. Rupa Goswami said three things, you know, in Nectar of Instruction. Utsaha, nischaya, dairya. All three are needed. Utsaha means enthusiasm, intensity chahiye, utsaham. And also nischaya. Ki patience, ho jayega. Some people, what they do, they are very patient. One day it will happen. One day I will chant 16 rounds. It will happen one day. So that patience, in the name of patience, we slip to mode of ignorance. Tamogun. Sometimes, other extreme is enthusiasm. I want Krishna now. So in the name of enthusiasm, we get fall into what? Mode of passion. Mode of passion gives distress. Mode of ignorance gives madness. So we need mode of goodness, and mode of goodness comes with dhairyat, you know, faith that yes, Krishna is there, Krishna will protect. That faith is also needed. So faith in Krishna. So when we are slipping towards extreme intensity, and that is disconnecting us from Krishna, if that is disconnecting us from Krishna and we are not feeling contented in our practices, it is time to come to the principle of what? Patience. And if you are too patient and we are getting complacent and not actually endeavoring, then what we do? Utsaha, enthusiasm. So therefore, mode of goodness, and it's not that mode of goodness means we'll every day be peacefully going like this. No, that will be like, you know, it's like a balance is like going on a tightrope walk. It's never smooth walk. So you slip on this side, then you come here. Then you slip on this side, then you come here. So like that we balance. So sometimes we hear a good inspiring class, we are enthusiastic, we should do it. But if that enthusiasm is agitating you, in the sense you are disturbed, you are becoming a control freak, then stop that, let go, relax, be spontaneous, thoda relax karo. But if that relaxing spontaneity means you are compromising on the standards and you are missing out on the chanting hearing, and then we intensify, increase, both is needed. The whole idea is basically we have to be focused on the present. My whole focus was not to keep lamenting and worrying, lamenting about the past or worrying about the future. Abhi present mein raho. Generally what happens in the name of intensity, intensity is okay, but we are not in the present. We are thinking of future. If you are intense, but if you are in the present, you will be happy. Generally we are intense, we are lamenting too much about the past. We are disconnected. So if you are thinking about future when you are in the present, then you will never be happy, because present is all that we have. Abhi class is going on right now. Just be present here. But now what we do? We are thinking of future. Tomorrow, day after, office, AVO. And we think, if I plan for future, when I am in the present, I will be happy future. No, but because of the bad habit of being not in the present when we are right now here, then when that future comes, future will once become a present, right? So in that present moment, because of this bad habit of not being in the present now, when that desirable situation actually comes, will you be there? You will be in the future. So you'll never be happy. That is a problem with all of us. We are never in the present. We are thinking, I'll be better, so I'll be happy if I have got this, if I make so much savings, if I do this, if I make this phone call, then I'll be happy. And then when you do all the tick things, sab apna schedule mein sab kar diya, and all those things are done, then will you be happy? No, then you will feel, ho gaya, but next what? We're never happy. So that's why spiritual practices, we have to know that we need to be present. Now if you are present, then at the time of death, what happens? The soul is ripped apart from this body. Pura body se nikal dete na soul ko. So we are totally disoriented at that time. We can't remember Krishna on our own. But if we now make the right choice of connecting to Krishna, then during death, it is Krishna who will make the choice of helping us remember Him. Krishna will help us connect to Him. So that is the way we balance. So If we are slipping onto one extreme, then we come back. That is the way we do it. Okay, Prabhu, last question. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for the class. I just want to know, we are practicing on being goodness, being in the mode of goodness. But this material world is such that in the path of goodness, they trample upon us. And
what are the last word you said?
They trample.
Trample, ah.
Yeah, they trample upon the person who is in the goodness mode. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told Arjun to fight. So when should we fight and when should we be in a goodness mood?
We should fight.
Yeah, I mean, Krishna says to Arjun, don't sit, I mean, fight with the...
Fight.
Whatever, with the material or whatever it is. So when should we be in a goodness mood and when should we become a fighter?
See, there are two things here. One is the viciousness, you know. If there is viciousness in the heart, that is what we have to give up. If there is negativity, anger, hatred, that is what we have to abandon. But externally, we have to do the needful. We have to be assertive. I'm not saying aggressive, but you have to be assertive and you have to do what you need to do. Prabhupada gives the example of Narad Muni and that snake. One snake was very poisonous and he was biting so many people. So Narad Muni came and preached to that snake. He said, you should be gentle, kind and mode of goodness, nice. So what did the snake do? He became quiet, gentle. So people slowly came to know, ki ye snake kuch nahi karta. They started beating the snake and the snake was completely badly beaten and was about to die. And again Narad Muni came. And Narad Muni asked the snake, "Are, kya ho gaya?" And the snake said, "You only told me, no, mode of goodness. You know, people have trampled on me." This is a question you are saying, no? People are trampling upon me. What is the use of this mode of goodness? That's what the snake told. Who? Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, "I told you not to bite, but I did not tell you not to hiss." Dharane ka, dhamke dene ka, hiss karne ka, kaatne ka nahi. So the point I'm saying is, we should not be envious and we should not act out of envy, but we should protect ourselves. So the snake was advised by Narad Muni to protect itself by hissing. So we have to protect, otherwise, you know, there are demons who will devour us and will take our goodness for granted. But we should not act out of anger. We should act out of love. There is a very nice poem by Rudyard Kipling. I'm trying to memorize it nowadays. I want to share it. It's a very nice poem. And that will answer your question. I don't know why this came up. But, you know, this is a background. Rudyard Kipling is one of the most best poets in the world. He was the first Britisher to get a Nobel Prize. And he was born in Mumbai, incidentally. He loved Bombay. He wrote a lot of poems on Bombay also. And he says this point that in one of the stanzas in this poem is, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat the two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth, it's a long poem actually. But I'm so excited with this. So, in one of the, he says, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes, this is where I'm coming to, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much. What a poem. So he's saying, therefore, then if you do this, then the earth will be yours and you will be a man. He wrote this when he was 35 or 36 years old. This is considered as the, in the opinion poll, this is considered as the most popular poem in England. And this whole poem is actually Bhagavad Gita, whole Bhagavad Gita in a materialistic language. But he starts teaching equanimity. In fact, this poem is framed and put in our National Defense Academy in Pune, in Indian Naval Institute. Many places in the world, this poem is highlighted as how, you know, so what is the author poet saying here? Don't allow people to hurt you. But you don't hurt them either. Be equipoised in triumph and disaster, but that doesn't mean we don't work hard. So that internal detachment is needed. So we have to fight for survival of the fittest, no? In the sense we have to protect yourself. So, but let us not have viciousness in our heart. So Arjuna fought, but not with viciousness. He fought as a duty. So we have to do that. Okay, Prabhu, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.